Well, hello, it's lovely to join you at Christ Cornerstone for your Sunday worship in a digital sort of way. I lived and worked in Milton Keynes about 10 years ago. It's amazing how time flies. I now serve as a prison chaplain in London. As some of you will remember, I have always carried a few extra pounds, well, probably extra stones, if I was to be honest. For 3 weeks over the lockdown, as I recovered from the virus, I piled on the pounds through comfort eating and watching daytime TV. While all the young gym bunnies took to the parks with an array of equipment, I was surprised the different kinds of equipment required by those doing workouts these days. There's straps and mats and cuffs around the wrists. There's balls for different kinds of yoga and Pilates and many other methods and techniques. Anyway, I looked on in envy, wishing that I too had the courage to spread the mat and do some stretches or whatever in public. But I didn't. And I didn't because I still, at the age of 61, when I thought I'd finally arrived at home and comfortable in my body, I find I'm not. I don't have the confidence to get my body out in public. I blame my maternal granny. She was an Edwardian, but heavily influenced by the Victorian modesty. From her and my mother, I learned that the body is actually not very nice. It needed covering. It did unspeakable dirty things regularly, and other people did naughty things with their bodies, which proper, polite people did not do. Of course, the Victorians and the Edwardians read the Bible through this lens, supported, they thought, by St. Paul in general and Romans chapter 8 in particular. The flesh came to mean everything that was dirty and naughty about the body. The flesh was unreliable and temporary. Bad, unchristian people did terrible things with their body, usually pleasurable things, and they did this with other people's body, and none of these things could be talked about. Prisoners also have a range of attitudes about their bodies. In a prison of 1,600 men, there's a lot of bodies about, and the bodies are important signs and symbols. Some prisoners attend gym to build up or maintain their physical muscular bulk. For such men, weak bodies is a vulnerable body, and a prisoner cannot be vulnerable. Other men work out in the gym to punish their bodies. It's so difficult for men to forgive themselves. So it's a fine line between disciplining and punishing a body. Some men cut their bodies because they feel so dead inside. Any kind of body pain indicates there must be some life. The flow of blood from a self-inflicted wound is a release of tension. So all of these seem to be rather negative responses to the body. Romans 8 seems to confirm that all things pertaining to the body is shabby and temporal. In contrast, the spirit is blessed, godly, heavenly, truthful, and eternal. It's easy to see how it's possible to read a dualism into the writings of St. Paul. Reading our own attitudes into St. Paul, it seems he is saying that the flesh is weak and bad, while the spirit is good and eternal. But this is incorrect. We really do need to be careful to watch out for this kind of dualism when we read it in the scriptures, as if the body is separate from the soul. So what did Paul mean when in chapter 8, verse 12, he talks about the flesh? The word he uses does indeed mean the physical body. But the word he uses does not indicate any overlay of value or judgment about the body. For Paul, the body is not bad or evil or wicked. If anything, for Paul, the body needs to be nourished and treasured, protected and honoured. Certainly for Paul, The body soul is inherently limited. It's wounded or scarred by the falling short of Adam. He uses different words to describe this condition of brokenness and other Greek words for the action or wrongdoing which is of a result of the human condition. All these Greek words for this brokenness of the body soul and the actions which arise out of these wounds have been rather clumsily translated to the word sin. So use the word sin if that is still a helpful word for you. I'm not sure it is for me. There is too much overlay. In the first 8 chapters of Romans, Paul sets out how Christ's death and resurrection has remedied or healed Adam's wounds or brokenness, and how, as a result, we can find peace in God through Christ. He begins chapter 8 with the words, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." No condemnation for those of us who desire to be free from the constraints of the death of Adam's wounds. Now, no condemnation for those who wish to tread another path, who are open to healing through Christ as we journey into the heart of God. No condemnation both for you folk listening, for me, and our brothers in prison. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation. How we all need to hear those words echo around our body souls. In fact, let's take a moment now, just for a moment, to be present in our bodies. If you can wriggle your toes, relax your bum and your belly, wherever you are. Move your shoulders up and down a bit. Wiggle your head around on your shoulders, on your neck, and so it sits nice on your shoulders. Be aware of your body. Let your jaw go slack. We often do this stuff in prison. Now, if you can, put your right hand under your left armpit and your left hand over the top of your upper right arm. I'll just repeat that. Put your right hand just under your left armpit and your left hand over the top of your upper right arm. Feel how comforting that is. Feel your body through your hands. Your right hand is close to your heart. Take a breath. It's your body. It's beautiful. It's wonderfully made. It's loved. Listen, God knows you have been trying to walk the path of faith. Heavens knows you have been desiring the healing of the body and soul through Christ, journeying into the heart of God. So tell your body, speak to your body now, while you have your arms crossed. Tell your body this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Tell your body, go on. Okay, that's probably enough of that. There is good news for you and your body. Could you imagine what that good news is like for the men in prison? From time to time, we all put ourselves into one prison or another. Prisons of guilt and shame and addiction, drink, drugs, pornography. These are not just parts of the lives of prisoners. They're part of our lives. They are prisons we make for ourselves, through our own wounds and brokenness, and I'm not going to judge you. But then so is there are prisons of guilt and shame and regret, which so hang around our bodies and souls. Paul says that when we are open to the healing work of Christ, when we journey into the heart of God's grace, at last our body souls become united in the Spirit's life. And with that Spirit we become adopted into the parenthood of God. This last epiphany I was reading with the church behind bars, as I'd like to call the men in prison, my congregation in church. We were looking at the baptism of Jesus, and we came to the passage where there is the voice from heaven after the baptism. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We were thinking that if we join with Christ's baptism and death, then we join also with those words. Most of the men in the church behind bars never really knew their father, or their father was remote or abusive. Never were they told that they were beloved or that they were well pleased with their sons. It felt like a light bulb moment in that church at that time, men realizing, perhaps for the first time, that they were beloved, and a Heavenly Father who was well pleased with them. Oh, how they had struggled previously to please their father and mother, and now they were beloved sons. For them and us, struggling with the many wounded parts of our lives, there is now no condemnation. Paul says even in our weakness, we are promised the Holy Spirit of liberty, away from the slavery of brokenness. The Spirit invites us into a new, adopted, intimate relationship with God. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night." And then this is the bit that prisoners love when they sing this. "My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." And then the final verse. "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own."